This interview is brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. You can check out the full episode at lickinonlending.com.
Matt Graham's here with us. Matt is the founder and CEO of MBS Live, and he's got a market update and what's on the calendar and what do we got to have going on. Got a little bit of a recovery from last week. The 10-year treasury is 2.879 is what your screen says right behind me. What you got, Matt?
Well, that's all I was going to report is that the 10-year's at 2.879. Thank you. Have a great day. You nailed it.
We're always encouraging you to be short, sweet to the point.
Okay. I can expound just a bit. To that point, 2.879 is a nice place to be after staring down 3.2 at start of last week. So really, a pretty substantial move off the highs. The higher we go in rates, the bigger the impulse gets to move back in the other direction for technical reasons. And that doesn't necessarily connote a long-term push back toward lower rates, but it definitely makes for volatile little swings that can be friendly at times. So last week, we really went into it with a heavy focus on CPI, the Consumer Price Index, one of the two biggest inflation reports. And of course, inflation being the key issue for the Fed right now, and the Fed being the key issue for rates. So there was a lot riding on this, and it was a little bit of a mixed response and an interesting one, if you ask me. So let's talk about it. So CPI last week, there's two different key components of CPI, as the audience may or may not know. There's the headline, which includes everything, and then there's the core, which factors out food and energy, chiefly oil in this case. So when you factor out food and energy, the line's a little bit less volatile. That's the one the Fed likes to look at more than the headline. And sometimes it makes for interesting considerations as to how they are behaving differently. So headline level, let me see. I have my notes here. Headline month over month, 0.3 versus 0.2. Okay. So that's a little bit hotter, but it is down significantly from 1.2 last month. So very, very big month last month. Arguably sort of sideways, maybe even slightly positive, but the market was expecting that result. The core rose a little bit versus the forecast, and that concerned me when it first came out. And I think it concerned the bond market when it first came out because the initial response was for rates to shoot higher and for stocks to shoot lower. And that's exactly the sort of Rorschach ink blot that we expect to see when something happens in economic data that is likely to lead the Fed to be less accommodative or to consider hiking more quickly or pulling back on bond buying more quickly. Not that they're going to make significant changes based on one report, but if subsequent reports were to sing a similar tune, then the market might start to be afraid of that. Bigger picture, year over year, we had a nasty month of inflation drop out of the calculation. And so that allowed the annual numbers to decline from previous levels. The core still a little bit higher than expected, 6.2 versus 6.0, but it's down from 6.5. Hooray. And headline 8.3 versus 8.1 forecast, down from 8.5 previously. So movement in the right direction. Subsequent months will need to start to beat their forecasts a little bit better in order to continue those trends. The market finally decided after, I don't know, I think it was 20 to 30 minutes of weakness, that this was not bad enough to freak out over. And stocks recovered and bonds recovered. And then stocks and bonds did what they did for most of the week, which was to do that conventional wisdom sort of lockstep correlation where stock prices and bond yields generally followed each other. Looking at things tick by tick, second by second, it seems that the stock market set the tone to a greater degree, and that bonds were just sort of biding their time last week and following stocks. Notably, when stocks suggested that the bond yields should continue to rise at a faster pace on Friday, bonds instead just sort of held their ground and didn't really follow stock prices higher in a very panicked way. So that was the most encouraging moment of the week, in my opinion, simply that bonds didn't take an excuse for rates to correct back toward even higher levels. We stopped before 10-year went back over 3%. And now at the start of the new week, even though stocks are holding steady, bonds are rallying. A big touchstone for analysts right now is global growth concerns, as it has been at other times in the past, especially concerning China and COVID-related lockdowns, and just the general economic fallout that is expected from global central banks doing what they need to do to combat inflation. Some central banks have been arguably behind the curve, and that's one of the reasons that the dollar is as strong as it is, because the Fed is really leading the charge. And as other central banks do that, it alleviates a little bit of the burden from the Fed to be as aggressive. And it also implies slower global growth. And that is ultimately good for rates. Yeah. Do we have a chance to level off? Is this the ceiling we've been looking for? We'll remind everybody that we've had at least three really solid attempts to carve out such a ceiling, and none of them have really panned out in a way where we're like, yeah, this could be the one. Sort of the same story here right now. We haven't seen enough to say this could be the one, but looking at some bigger picture technicals, and if bonds were to rally this week and next week, then it's going to be a lot more compelling, especially if we break below some key technical targets in treasuries. And these technicals don't predict the future, but they would help confirm that something is happening. Yeah. And the ones I'm looking at specifically would be 2.83 and 2.72. So pretty close to that first one right now, and not quite as close to that second one. Mortgages, kind of in a world of their own, spreads are very blown out, and that is partly due to the Fed's balance sheet normalization. But one of the feathers in the cap of the bond market last week, and especially for mortgages, was the fact that several Fed speakers reminded us that, hey, we're normalizing the balance sheet, but that's a finite process. We'll get to a certain point where we're not needing to do that anymore, and the level of reserves will level off, and then we will be back to reinvesting the proceeds from the bond market. It remains to be seen what they do with MBS. They probably won't be reinvesting MBS, or they will be reinvesting MBS into treasuries, but that's still better than just letting it roll off completely. The most interesting comment in that regard was the balance sheet leveling off in the $1 to $2 trillion range. So what's $1 trillion between friends? It might be one, it might be two, but it'll level off somewhere around there. Yeah, just goes to show you the magnitude that the words of these people and the decisions of the Fed members can have in the global economy. So this week, nothing too crazy coming up that I can see anyway, as far as what's on the schedule in terms of economic data. I think we're just watching how traders are trading this out and how technicals are shaping up. We do have a good amount of housing data. I wouldn't consider that to be market moving in this case. The biggest potential market movers from a traditional sense would be retail sales tomorrow, but that hasn't been a big market mover recently. Philly Fed on Thursday, and that's about it as far as upper shelf reports. Other than that, just a smattering of housing data, builder confidence, and housing starts on Wednesday, existing home sales on Thursday, and with us as always, MBA apps every Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. That's all I got for today.
So how are those apps looking right now?
Refi apps are, as you would expect, near long-term lows. Not as low as they were in the distant past, but as low as they've been in the past decade or so. And purchase apps have declined from the highs, but they were doing that even before the rate spike, and still in respectable territory, which is what we normally see during rate spikes, which is for the purchase market to show some sign that it cares, but not to freak out like the refi market.
Right. That's the point I wanted to bring out. That's very, very good. Jack Nunnery, let's get your comments as you do each and every week on this economic data. Thoughts?
Well, David, all I can say is Matt did a comprehensive job of reviewing last week and what's to come in the marketplace. I mean, he touched on everything that was germane to potential market moves. We'll see a little less volatility this week, knock on wood, since we've got a lot of capital markets folks at the Marriott Conference. Marquee yep. on Broadway. So my hats off to Matt, David. I think he touched everything.
Yeah, he does. I love what you're doing, bud. You do a great job. You bring up the most critical information. You present it in a way that anyone can just wheel around and look at it or have it up on their screen, on their mobile device, on their iPad. But in market times like this, how do you live without mbslive.net, N-E-T.net? So anyway, Matt, appreciate you. Appreciate you. I get a lot of feedback. What's so much fun about some of the feedback I'm getting on you is, Lincoln, Matt's just coming alive on this podcast, and his personality is delightful.
You called me Eeyore, so now I got to compensate in the other direction. I got to bring it back.
But you still have that dry Matt Graham sense of humor, which is, dear God, don't ever let that go. Anyway, thank you so much for your contributions each and every week, and thank you for the service you provide. People, you can get signed up, listeners, for an extended trial period without a credit card if you put in LOL at the sign up as a sign up code at mbslive.net. Matt, parting words, anything you want to say?
Thank you, Dave, for having me every week, and it's a pleasure to be here.
I appreciate you. Folks, next week we have Andrea Lightfoot coming on of Simple Nexus, along with Celine Kalem of Thrive. I'm really looking forward to this discussion, talking a lot about what's going on. And Andrea's bringing on Celine is because of what successes Thrive is having. So we're going to be getting in and talking about with a mortgage letter. Again, this is one of the things that TMC does at the collabs real well, and they bring in and they talk with each other about what's happening on. So listen in next week on the Hot Topic segment as Andrea and Celine will be talking about things that are making it work for Thrive and how they're doing it with Simple Nexus. Yes, they're a sponsor, but it's important tips that we can get in here about what's happening. A special thank you goes out to all of our sponsors, Finastra, Lenders One, Mobility MMI, Modix, MBA, Knowledge Coop, Mortgage Collaborative, the SnapDocs group, as well as a Success Kit, Lender Toolkit, Total Expert, Form Free, Simple Nexus. We appreciate all of them. And we thank you, listeners, for being here with us. Have a great week and look forward to having you back here next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week and thanks for listening.